So let's start our recording. Good morning, everyone. And if you're listening, a very warm welcome. We're going to continue in Ephesians 6. And I just want to read Ephesians 6 out afresh. Verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Stand firm then. And we've been talking about standing and standing firm, because when the wind of adversities come, then the wind of adversity wants to blow us off course. The Bible says that hope is an anchor for our souls, and an anchor keeps us in one space, doesn't it? It keeps us grounded even when there's turmoil all around us. It's the same with this word standing. Standing firm, it's almost having a posture, yes, like a boxer, but having a posture so that when the push comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. So that's what I've been trying to communicate to us through these verses. I just want to, because I like to read God's word, we want to get things in context. This is what we've been saying in Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and mighty in power. Put on the full armour of God. How do we become mighty in power? By putting on the full armour of God. So that you can, not you might be able to, you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We're under attack. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when, not if, when the day of evil comes, you may be able to take or stand your ground. After you've done everything to stand, stand firm then. And this is what I believe the Lord said to me, and I want to say it to us as a church. Stand. We just need to, don't stand up, we just need to stand. It doesn't say go and hit somebody. It doesn't say just stand and he will stand with us. Because when we have the truth around us, wrapped around us like a cloak, when we talk about praise and prayer, it says put on the garment, doesn't it? This is what we're being encouraged to do. Put it on. And it's a spiritual thing that we do so that we can stand our ground. And after we've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. And one of the things that will happen in life, and this was a picture that the Lord was showing me through this last few portions of scripture that I want to share with you, is that if you imagine everybody is down and you ask to stand, you stand out, don't you? They can see suddenly there's that one person that's standing up when everyone else is kneeling down. You see it on the football pitch, don't you, where some people stand up and some people kneel down. You see it in all circumstances of life, where when I was at school, there used to be certain things that I had to stand for. I had to stand up and say, no, this is wrong, when everyone else is sitting down. When I'm in the workplace, when I first started work as a teenager, there were certain things that I knew to be true, and I had to stand up, and I stood out. And I became a target. And that's what will happen when we stand up. That's why we're encouraged to put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes. It says, put the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet that's fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, which will extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. We looked at this. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. If you want to know what the sword is, it's the word of God. Then it says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, always be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, Paul says, the words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. That's what happens when God calls you to stand up in a circumstance. He will give you the words in which he wants you to utter. So we're talking about standing in Luke 21. Jesus words himself. Stand firm then. Stand firm then. He talks a little bit further than that. He says that everyone will hate you because of me. You know, your brothers, your sisters, your enemies, your friends, your neighbours. But it says this, not a hair on your head will perish. Stand firm and you will win life. Scripture encourages us to run the race as if to win the prize while we win life. Life in all its fullness. Yes, we may suffer in this world, but in the world to come, we will be able to stand firm. Now we will inherit that as it comes. Not a hair on our head will be missing. I have a few missing already. Maybe God will replace them. I don't know. But we're encouraged to stand firm, and the prize is life, and life in all its fullness. Yes? And when you look at, I was talking with someone briefly this morning about prosperity. And when we actually think about prosperity, it's nothing broken, nothing missing. It's like everything we need is in the Lord's word. When I go to visit my doctor, I'm grateful for the advice and the medication that he can offer. I'm grateful for the surgeons that can do surgery on my loved ones. I'm grateful for all these things. But you know what the truth is? The truth is, Christ is enough. Christ is enough. We should tap into the resources that God's given us, yes, but he is enough. He is before us, he is after us, he is under us, he's above us, he's around us, and he is our rear guard. So let's stand firm, because we will win life. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. So if you think you're standing firm, now this is a portion of scripture that says to believers, be careful. Because it's like being on something that's not balanced very well. There may be chocks underneath it and you think you're standing firm, but when someone removes one of them, then it's difficult to balance, isn't it? And that's like that in our lives, I believe. And as I've been looking at scripture and reading and praying and looking at my own life, I realise there's certain things that have been taken away from me and I thought it was solid. And when those things were taken away, things became unstable. But the thing that was always stable in my life was the foundation, which is Christ Jesus. So in church life, when someone says something or do something which is contrary to God's word, and it will happen, the foundation is still solid, providing we're building on it. And one of the things that I want to thank you for is that you're still here, because you want to build on the solid foundation. And when I look at the way the world builds, as an illustration, some are building on the tabletop. And to build on the tabletop is just the same. Look at the parable that Jesus gave us of the house on the sand and the house on the rock. When you look at the houses, they're built the same. They look magnificent. But when the storms come, one will collapse. And the one that will collapse is the one that's built on the tabletop or on the sand. So it may look right, but I want to encourage us. Let's just stand in this time when everyone around us, the world around us, is bombarding us with different ideologies, different isms, different things that we're supposed to do. Let's look at what God's word says, and let's just simply stand. And stand firm and have the truth around us, because that will keep us in good stead. That's why it says, if you think you're standing firm, be careful you don't fall, because no temptation, we spoke about it last week, has overtaken you except what is common to man. There's nothing new under the sun, is there? If you're going through it, then be assured that someone else has gone through it before you. If they're going through it, be assured there'll be a time where you may have to go through it. But let's just stand, knowing that Christ stands with us, knowing that we're on the foundation, that when the wind and the waves come. So as we bring this series of messages to a close, I want you to just be reminded of that standing. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 is where I'm reading from. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. One of the ways we can stay firm or stand firm and let nothing move us is to give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. In other words, the Bible says, don't be half-hearted, but be whole-hearted. When you look at the spies that went in to spy out the land, they were leaders. And only two came back and said, yeah, we can do this. And the reason I believe that they said they could do this is because God had already said before they went that he was giving them the land. If you read that portion of scripture where he sent 12 in, and 10 said, no, we can't, and 2 said, yes, we can. If you read the beginning of that portion of scripture, it will tell you that God says, go and spy out the land in which I am giving you. He'd already said, you're going to have it, you just needed to take it. And 2 came back, and it says Caleb particularly had a different spirit. He was wholehearted, not half-hearted. So one of the ways that we can stand as a church, stand as individuals, stand as brothers and sisters, is to give ourselves fully to what God says. See, God's called you to do different things to what he's called me to do. He's called me to stand in the gap in certain areas, and he hasn't called you to stand in the gap in certain areas. But there are things he has called you to do, and he has called you to stand with the fullness of his truth wrapped around you, so that you can be a source of encouragement to those around you. In 2 Corinthians 1 verse 21, "Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm. It is God who makes both you and I stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He set his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit into our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come." So when we stand, we're not standing on our own. That's the point I'm making. I know these things you know, but it's good to be reminded, isn't it? That when you stand, you're not on your own. And it's God who makes us stand firm in Christ Jesus. He's the foundation in which we're standing upon. He's anointed us. And he set his seal, the Holy Spirit of ownership, on us. We belong to him. See, we're dead. Our old self is dead. We're alive in him. He's put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what's to come. There's something better to come. Have you ever said to yourself, there must be more than this? Well, the answer is yes, there is. There's more than this. So be encouraged, Christian, today. Be encouraged that he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And we meet together not just to come and say hello, but we meet together to be encouraged, to be challenged, to be stretched, to be directed, to be corrected. And we do that through God's word. So let me encourage you this morning. Let's stand firm, knowing that we're on the foundation. In Galatians 5 verse 1, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. He didn't come to make us slaves to sin, did he? He came to make us slaves to righteousness, but he set us free from death and sin. Then it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." The reason I pause and I stop and I just reiterate, because I don't see myself as a wonderful teacher, but I see myself as someone who's called to read God's word out, and we're called to ask God to give us understanding and revelation. But when you take the time to read it, you'll see, "Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened." Do not let yourselves be burdened. There are times where we can easily blame the devil for something that's going on in our lives, can't we? Yeah. You know, if I put on too much weight and my clothes don't fit me, I could blame the devil, couldn't I? The devil's trying to make me overweight. No, it's my desire to eat. Help me, Lord. "Stand firm then. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." I've been set free from the yoke of slavery. I'm now a slave to righteousness, a right standing with God. So another way that we stand firm is to simply stand in the truth that God has already told us. But we need to take responsibility as we walk and as we move and as we ask the Lord to guide us and direct us. In Philippians 1 verse 27, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you," Paul says, "or only hear about you in my absence, I know that you stand firm in the one spirit." Now we live in a day, and I guess we've always lived, and every generation can say this. When you look back at the Spurgeons and those that preached many years ago, they would say the same thing. We need to stand firm in the one spirit, because there are lots of things that talks about spiritual this. Well, have you met the spiritual Christian? I'm very spiritual. Or the spiritual atheist, I don't believe in God, but I'm very spiritual. Well, I don't know what that means. But Paul says, make sure you stay in the one Spirit, and that's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of revelation, the Spirit of righteousness, Spirit of truth and abundance. I will know that you stand firm in one Spirit, he says. It says, striving together as for one faith of the one gospel. Jesus says himself, there will be people that say, there he is. There's one gospel. And that's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of all, on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now you hear I still am. Even though Paul says I'm going through struggles, even though you've seen the struggles I go through, and you've seen the struggles of fellow brothers and sisters, fellow members of church congregation, you've seen the struggles of those on the other side of the world. And we're not immune to it, but the truth is that God has called us to stand and stand firm, and he's wrapped himself around us. So as we go into this week, there may be a time, there may be an opportunity where you are encouraged to stand. And when you stand, you will stand out, because everyone else is kneeling or bowing down to whatever God it is they serve. And we're called to stand. We hear it in the media, we hear it in the armed forces, make a stand. Make a stand for this, make a stand for that. It's hard, I think, to argue from a seating position, but it's easier to stand and open your lungs and actually vocalise what it is God's given you. But when we do that, we will stand out. But we need to stand out for the right reasons. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but we need to stand up and stand out for the right reasons. And I'm going to share a story in a moment that just typifies it. It really brought it home to me. In Colossians 4 verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm. Let's encourage one another by telling one another that we're praying for one another. Let's pray for one another. If the Lord places someone on your heart, then you could be thinking to yourself, why is God placing that person on my heart? I'll just pray for them. What can you lose? Nothing. What can you gain? Everything. Just pray. You know, why is it? There was I won't mention names, but there's a friend of mine who's going through a really tough time, and he's having to have blood transfusions 3 times a week to keep him alive. And I went on a bike ride the other morning, and when I came back, I just thought about this man. And I picked the phone up, and he said this to me. He said, hello? And I said, hello? He said, oh, Andrew, I thought you was the crisis team. I said, I am the crisis team. Yeah? Why did I have that man on my heart? Because he was in crisis. And my heart breaks for him because he's in crisis. And there'll be times that we pray for people and they die in the natural, don't they? But they're alive in the supernatural. You see, we will go through times of hardship, won't we? But we can pray for one another. Stand firm in all the will of God. Mature and fully assured. Mature and fully assured. That's what we want to be. As we continue to look at these encouraging portions of Scripture that will challenge us and encourage us. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 15. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm, hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May the Lord Jesus Christ himself, God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. One of the ways we stand firm, one of the ways we are encouraged, is by standing and holding firm to the teachings. There'll be times that you will read or you will see or you will have a conversation with a non-Christian or a Christian, and what they say sounds like the truth, but we need to weigh it up and say, is it built on the foundation? And only when we hold fast to the teachings that we've been given through Scripture will we see the encouragement and the strengthening. And that's why I'm encouraged, because God is strengthening me. Even though on the inside I feel weak, I know that I have His strength. Does that make sense? It's the same for you. Why? Because I'm standing, and I'm standing on the rock. And that's what I want to encourage this church to do as we go forward. And I haven't had a revelation on this, but I know that if God has called us, He will equip us and He will give us everything we need. And I know that He talks about the first fruits. And I know that when He talks about the first fruits, there'll be more fruit that comes. So if we have gone through a time of sifting, which I believe we have, if we've gone through a time of Exodus, which I know we have, if we've come through a time of standing on the truth, which I know we have, then we're standing on the rock, and I know that there's a first fruit and God will bring more in. Not that we become a big church, but that we have influence to proclaim the gospel of the good news to more people. Amen? That's what my heart desire is. In 1 Peter 5 verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. And for me, I have been getting anxious. And that's an encouragement for me, so it's an encouragement for all of God's people. Cast your anxiety on Him. Why do we do what we do when we feel we can't do it? It's because He's called us to stand. He's called us to cast our anxieties on Him, because He cares for us. It says, because He cares for you. Verse 8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. How do you resist him? Standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, thank you, Lord, He Himself will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. God's people said, Amen. Amen. You see, there are times of suffering, but God says, resist the devil by standing firm. So we just need to stand. We need to stand in His truth, on His foundation. If we're standing on His foundation, then we're firm. And if we're wrapped around by His truth and His righteousness, then we're secure. The enemy may prowl around, but he can't have us. Why? Because we belong to the Lord. Scripture has already told us. In John 1:29, just to encourage you, I haven't actually got onto the scripture what to read to you yet, so you might be blessed for the next 3 hours, or not, as the case may be. John 1:29, I'll move on swiftly. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What's this got to do with standing? Well, if we want to see what God is doing, there's times we need to stand up, stand above everyone else, so we can see what's happening. Amen. And so when everyone else is bowing down and we're called to stand, we can see clearly, can't we? We can see clearly. There's a picture God gave me of the narrow road and the wide road. I haven't got time to bring it today, but I will do maybe next week, because that was a clear picture of standing up so you can see what's happening, see what's coming in the distance. Now, this is the portion of scripture I really wanted to put this around. So for 5 minutes, I will just share this portion of scripture. It's very familiar to us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When you look at that story, here's these boys who become men, who were faithful to their God, taken from a land in which they loved and put into a land of slavery. Understood what it was to serve, so they served in the situation they was in. And there was things they would do and things they wouldn't do. There's foods they would eat and foods they wouldn't eat. There were times that they would stand up and times that they would sit down. And there was a decree made. where the king of the time said, I'm going to build a statue and everybody, when they hear the music, will bow down and worship the idol. Everybody. So these three men, they knew that if they didn't, they would be executed. It wasn't a case of they would be excommunicated or their friends wouldn't like them anymore because they're Christians. It wasn't because they went to a different church. It was because they represented a different God. So they was in the position where they was brought with the rest of the community. And the music started to play. Just picture it. And everybody bowed down. Bar Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego. So they stood out, didn't they? There was no getting away from it. Apart from the king. And those that he said didn't have to stand, they were the only three. And there'll be times in our lives, Christian, where we are called to stand. And we will stand out. We will stand out. Now they could have said, well, we'll bow down, but we won't worship. No one will know, and we'll save our lives. They could have said, well, what use will we be to these people and to our God if we're dead? So let's just bow down and ask for forgiveness afterwards. But they didn't. You see, there are times where what we do is more powerful than what we say. There'll be times by just standing up. There'll be times where we'll see an injustice. And you know what? That injustice in the workplace or in the marketplace is so easy just to walk by and go, it's not my concern. But if God calls you to stand, then you need to stand. And you will stand out. Because when the world is bowing down, and when we look at what's happening in our world today, and you know I try not to be political by mentioning too much stuff, but it's all around us. There's an idol out there. There's idol worship. There's apathy. There's devil worship. Everything is around us. And it's the lie being told as the truth, and the truth being told as a lie. Now, if you're someone that believes in morality, there's something wrong with you. If you believe in the union of a man and a woman, there's something wrong with you. Everyone else is bowing down to the idol, and we're called to stand up. That's why it's a challenge when we look at Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. But a portion of scripture that I want to read out to us afresh, because I quote it on a regular basis. Listen to what they said, and just imagine this conversation. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego replied to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, even if he doesn't, we will not bow down and serve you or serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." What a challenge for us as Christians. You know, we do it. I've done this throughout my Christian life. I've seen someone who's ill or tormented, and I pray believing that God can heal, that God can deliver, and he doesn't. Do we give up? Do we not go to church anymore because God didn't heal? I prayed for a man once who was dead. Didn't I stop going to church because he wasn't raised to life? No, because it's not me that does the healing, it's not you, is it? It's God. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego knew that they had an eternal inheritance, that they had a God that, if he allowed them to be consumed, that they would go to a better place. And that's a challenge for me and you when we're in this world of idolatry, we're in this world of witchcraft, we're in this world where the truth is seen as a lie and a lie is seen as the truth. We're going to be asked to stand. And maybe we could be like these three men who can say, look, even if God doesn't deliver me from this, we're still not going to bow down and worship your idol. And that idol is anything that's not God, isn't it? So whatever our idol is, God will show us. But we're living in challenging times, but we do have a God that wants to bless us and encourage us and enable us. There's a portion of scripture here that's talking about the people of Israel. It's talking about the Israelites coming home. It's talking about something completely different to what I want to share with you. But I want to read it out because it is poignant to what I've been saying. And it's in Ezekiel 37, and it's talking about the Valley of the Dry Bones. And I'm sure you've read it. If you haven't, read it. Ezekiel 37, verse 7. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of a valley that was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were dry, no, very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And the picture I want us to have as we conclude this message is there's times where we can feel dry in a barren and thirsty land. But as we started with at the beginning, there is a thirst that God can quench as we hunger and thirst after him. But the question was, can these dry bones live? So when we go into our week and we're encouraged and challenged to stand, can these dry bones live? Can the dryness within me live? Well, the difference between dry bones and living bones is the Spirit of God, isn't it? It's what it says in this portion of Scripture. It says, and God breathed his Spirit into them. So the difference between what's dry in our lives and what's not dry in our lives is the Spirit of God. So if we take hold of what God has said, that he lives in us through his Holy Spirit, we can truly say, Lord, come and quench my thirst. Lord, give me the ability to stand and stand firm, knowing that I have the belt of truth wrapped around me. Finish finally with this one. Exodus 20 verse 3. You shall have no other God before me. That's where we need to stand. So let's finish in prayer. Father, we thank you that you give us the answer to every question that's posed to us through scripture, through your word. Lord, when we're asked to stand and stand firm, you've already told us that if we stand on the rock, being Jesus Christ, we won't stumble and we won't fall. You've told us, Lord, that when we stand and to stand firm, we're to have the fullness of your armor on at all times. Lord, you've told us when the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, that you call us to resist him. We resist him through the power of your Spirit, covered by your blood, enabled by your power. Lord, for us as a church, for us as individuals, Lord, help us to stand when you call us to stand. We ask this in Jesus' name. And God's people said,